Let us now turn to read God's word. And our reading this morning is from the New Testament and from Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. And we're going to break in to read from verse 15. These first 14 verses are the words we've heard often in this past few days about and concerning the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to continue with the simple thought and meditation this morning and what has happened afterwards. What happened afterwards? Let us therefore read from verse 15 of Luke's Gospel and chapter 2. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they went known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel." And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, who departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she was coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And when they had performed all these things according to the law of the Lord, they returned unto Galilee, their own city in Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Amen. And may God add his blessing and give to us understanding in that reading of his own holy and inspired word. And we continue our worship singing, this time from the words of Psalm 119. Psalm 119. And we're breaking in to sing at verse 49. And we'll be looking at Simeon in a moment and the way in which he was given a promise from the Lord. And these words of Psalm 119 bring up that same experience, not only for Simeon, but one that is applicable to every one of us as we can hold on to a promise from the Lord likewise. Psalm 119 at verse 49. Remember, Lord, thy gracious word thou to thy servant spake, which for a ground of my sure hope thou causest me to take. This word of thine my comfort is in mine affliction, for in my straits I am revived by this thy word alone. The men whose hearts with pride are stuffed did greatly me deride, yet from thy straight commandments I have not turned aside. Thy judgments righteous, O Lord, which thou of old forth gave, I did remember, and myself by them comforted have. Psalm 119, 49 to 52, four stanzas. Remember, Lord, thy gracious word.
Remember, Lord,
Would you turn with me to the passage we read in the life of Simeon from Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. And the one verse I wanted to think of and to build our meditation around this morning is there at verse 30 for us, where we read, "For mine eyes have seen thy salvation." I prefaced the reading of the passage this morning by putting in the simple observation of what happened next. What are the consequences of all that has happened in these past days? The excitement has come and gone. We've seen things, we've heard things, new things, old. And at the end of it all, it is proper and it is right, it's appropriate, simply to ask the question and to make an assessment. What is it all done? What is it all achieved and accomplished? What have we got out of it all? Perhaps it's the time for coming together, and yes, it's been good in a sense for families coming together. Stories have been shared and experiences recalled. But it's not long before it's just another memory, filed away as so many others have been, filed away with others that are so very familiar from the past. And also, despite all the involvement and all of the enjoyment that was held out for us, perhaps even the enjoyment of a moment we've experienced, these things, they don't last. They don't satisfy the depth and the longing within our souls, deep down inside us. Now that it's all over, there is still something missing. We've come through and we've come out of the past 2 or 3 weeks, just as we went into them. And so it's refreshing to hear the words of challenge from the life of Simeon given to us in this verse this morning. It tells us of something amazing and astonishing that happened to him. We're given here an understanding about his involvement and his commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ and why he was so interested, why he was so devoted, why there's this passion about the way he lived and what he said. This man, Simeon, has a peace that he's never known before. And he says, "Now let thy servant depart." He's saying, the word that is used there is the word that we use to dismiss a soldier or an office or anything like that. "Now let your servant be dismissed." And what he means by that is, "I'm now ready to die. I'm now ready to go." And all because of who he has seen, who he has handled, there he has seen the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he knows the significance of that coming. What he is to be and what he will do for people who trust in him. And especially he knows what this child will do for Simeon himself. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation. What has been the consequence of all the celebrations, all of the commitment, all of the involvement of these past days and weeks for ourselves, for our society, for our nation? Can we say and join with Simeon these words as our own testimony? Mine eyes have seen thy salvation. I want very briefly this morning, but I want just to think of several different thoughts that might apply to Simeon. We can take them out and apply them to ourselves. And the first thing I want to go to is verse 26. It was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. The very first thing we have there is a promise that was given to this man. We're told nothing about him, we're told nothing about his life or his background except in these few words, in these few sentences, in these few verses. But what we are told about him is very, very important. He was not going to see death until he had seen the Lord's Christ, the one who was promised, the one who was equipped, the one who came as the Messiah to be the Savior of his people. That's what he was promised. That's what was given to him. What kind of man was this man, Simeon? What are the qualities that are singled out about him in what little we're told of him? It comes down to something like this. What is it that God notes in this man's life? What is it that God notes in our lives? Remember what we're told, little things that stick with us about saints that have gone in the past. Caleb, what was the quality that is singled out for us in the life of Caleb? Caleb followed the Lord fully. Abraham believed God. This woman who anointed the Lord with the ointment and displayed such affection to him, this woman, she loved the Lord so much. What will we be known for? What was it that the Lord picked up out of the life of this man, Simeon? He was just and he was devout. He was just. It's simply his relationship and his dealings with other people round about him. He behaved well and properly. He did nothing that would cause a block or a hindrance to other people seeing his Lord and his God. There was about him a spiritual transparency. There was no confusion as to who he was and where he was going and who he was living for. There was no confusion about the way he was living as a Christian believer. He was just, he was open and obvious in his relationships with others round about him. There was no duplicity. There was no doubt. He was, as we say, spiritually transparent. And again, the challenge comes to ourselves to live in that way ourselves so that we can be light, salt. We also can be spiritually transparent to attract others to our Lord. He was just, yes. But he was also devout. And this refers not so much to his relationship with men, But this is now his relationship with God. There was a caution, a carefulness in the way in which he lived, because he always wanted to please his God. The most important relationship that he had, and the person that he often went back to, the one person that he often referred his whole life and everything he did, wasn't to his peers round about him and, "What do you think of me doing this? What do you think of me saying this?" It was never anything like that in the life of Simeon. It was always, "What does God say about what I'm doing now?" There was nothing formal about his life and living. There was this simple delight mingled with a careful concern lest he offends God in any way. At the very center of his life then, there was this love and appreciation for what the Lord had done for him. And his whole life was filled and decorated with good things from God's hand. And consequently, as he knew these things day after day, week in, week out, so also he felt the weight of them and responded accordingly by giving to God that first place and priority in all that he did. Simple, challenging lessons and applications for us to do likewise. As we've known God's goodness to us, perhaps in a special way or perhaps in a regular, small, personal way, but as we've known God's goodness to us over these past days, this year that is now coming to a close, what has been the reaction and the reflection of our days? How have we responded to what God has done and given to us? The man who was just and the man who was devout. And to him, to this man, was given this promise that he would see the Lord's Christ. In this man's life, in these days in which he was living, there was nothing to encourage him. There was nothing to encourage him about the coming of the Messiah. There was a formality with the scribes and the Pharisees and the way in which they conducted the religious life of the nation. There was an extensive, if not accepted, immorality in their day and society. There was a cruelty that King Herod showed in the way in which he killed his family to secure his position. And having tasted and shed blood, he then quite willingly went and did the same to all 2-year-olds to ensure that the baby Jesus was killed likewise. There was a cruelty, a barbarism of that day. And in the midst of all of that darkness, there was hope. There was expectation with this man. There was this promise given to him. So therefore the question is, what do people think of us? What does he see and what does he note in us? Are we spiritual people? And is that what people think of us to be? Open to his guidance, living according to his word, delighting in him always in what we do and what we say, even to such an extent that others might note it and comment upon it. And have we received, and has God drawn near to us because of the quality of our life? God, a God of holiness and a God of justice, has he drawn near and has he given to you or to me a promise like he gave to Simeon? Simple. The first thing we notice of this man's life. But if we pick up the pace and we move on from the promise that was given to verse 27, and we find there the providence in their meeting. He came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for them after the custom of the law, then he took him up in his arms. A promise that was given. Yes, a promise that he would not die until he saw the Lord Christ. That promise had to be acted on. It had to be put into effect. It's doing nothing if it's not used. And so we find this man Simeon going into the temple, waiting there for this promise to be fulfilled to him, guided to be there by the Holy Spirit, and to be there with an expectation each time that he would see it being fulfilled. And as he was going there regularly to be in the temple, so we find the providence bringing him together and meeting with Joseph and Mary as they came to perform their obligations concerning the child they had just received. And as they fulfill these obligations, they meet Simeon. The promise is given, and the promise has to be put into effect, or at least we've got to put ourselves in the place where the promise might be fulfilled at some time to us. We must use these promises. Apply them to our lives. Different ways we can take that out to ourselves. If we've been given a promise, then surely it is important that we plead for that promise. Use it in prayer. Ask constantly, persistently, that the Lord will fulfill it. If we are required to do something or to be somewhere, then surely it is incumbent upon us to fulfill these requirements, what it requires and where it wants us to be and directs us. If we want to find the Lord, and if we have a promise of that being true in our experience, then we seek him in prayer, yes, but we seek him in reading our scriptures. We seek him in gathering together in the services and with the fellowship of his people. To be in the places where he indicates he will be. To be in the places and in the company where the Lord delights to be. In the temple. With his people. In the services. I want to know more of the Lord. Surely that's a desire that comes to the heart of every Christian many a time. I want to know more of the Lord. We might even have a promise that the Lord would meet with us and fulfill that with a great thing given to us. Well, if that's the promise we've got, surely we've got to put ourselves in the place where we meet with him, where we know he will be found, where perhaps we've known him in past days to be found. There will be distractions. People will drift. We might even find temptations coming across our path. But that only focuses and sharpens our determination that I am going to be there. I am going to be there in the church. And I'm going to wait with that expectancy, with the same expectancy as Simeon had, to meet with the Lord Jesus Christ. To be there with a persistence, to be there with an expectancy, to be there in the place where in the past we've known him to be. And as he met there, and as he saw the child, and as he took the child in his arms, surely we can understand the way in which these words that he speaks, that just simply boil up and flow out from his life, because of what it meant for him personally. Because of what it meant for him personally. Now, mine eyes have seen thy salvation. What a tremendous experience for anyone. What a tremendous experience for Simeon. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation. And from that providence, we hear him simply offering this prayer. The promise that was given, the providence in their meeting, the prayer that was offered. And now, O Lord, let thou thy servant depart in peace. That word, now, it's not a weak word. It's emphasizing something that has happened in his life. Something momentous has come. He has crossed a line and something great has come upon him. And as a consequence of that, there's something different with him now. He is now different. Now I am ready to die. I wasn't ready before, but now I am. I am ready to depart. The soldier on duty, as I say, or some boat that is ready to cast off and set sail. That's what the word means. I am now ready to go. I'm ready to take down my tent. And I'm ready to move on. Simeon was watching for the Messiah coming. Other people might have seen simply just the baby. The family doing what was required by the law of the land and the law of the times. But Simeon saw something totally different. He saw the significance of God's promises and God's covenants tied up with this child. He saw something about the promises that made from years and years before, about the Messiah that was come to deliver his people and to gain forgiveness for his people. He saw these things, all of them focused, coming to fruition in this child in his arms. The one Messiah that was equipped to do it. The one who was named for that purpose, Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. The one who has come to die upon the cross, suffering in the place of his own, came to obtain a perfect salvation, suitable for the worst of sinners, to bring all of his people before the holy God. Over these past days, many have looked on cards. Many have heard and been to nativity plays. People have heard these familiar words of verses 1 through 14 of Luke chapter 2. Other places in scripture, they've heard these familiar words read year after year after year. But they haven't appreciated the significance and the purpose of it all. They don't understand what lay behind it and why he came. They don't understand the meaning and the significance of the child born in the manger. So many people just simply go through the ritual and file it away one more year with no change following on from it. And how Simeon, standing before us and speaking with us here this morning, how Simeon challenges us and so many others as to what the effect of it all has been on him, on us. How much of it lasts? With Simeon, it really did last. Because we're told here, now I am ready to die. Death had lost its terror. Life had lost its charms. He was now ready to go, when in the past he was not. We know the words written on a gravestone. Words that are so challenging to every one of us, especially when death comes. These simple words written on a gravestone. The person in the grave speaking to the person that's reading them. And the person in the grave is saying, as you are now, so once was I. As I am now, so you shall be. Prepare, therefore, to follow me. And somebody simply has added a response to that challenge. To follow you, I am not content until I know which way you went. What way did Simeon go? Where did he go, and what was his hopes and expectations? He was ready to depart. He was ready to go home. The simple prayer he offered, the challenge that that prayer brings to us also, are we ready to depart? And he was ready to depart because of another thing that is spoken of in that verse, not only the prayer he offered, but the peace that he knew. Now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace. Why was he ready? He was ready to go simply because he knew this peace with God based on what this child was going to achieve and accomplish. There was a quietness in the depth of his soul at the prospect of meeting God. There was nothing to fear. Only because he had come to trust in what the child had come to achieve on the cross. The Lord Jesus Christ is described as the Prince of Peace. He has come, again, the description given, to make peace. Speaking to his disciples on that last night, he says, "This is the gift I give to you. My peace I give, not as the world giveth I to you." The peace that is the gift that the Lord Jesus Christ gives to every one of his people. And there is a tight logic to this gospel and the Christian message. The demands of God's law applying to every one of us carry the penalty of death. The wages of sin are death, that's what the Bible tells us. And we cannot pay these wages. Well, we've got no substitute to pay these wages for us, except Jesus Christ, who's come as the perfect substitute and sacrifice to take the place of his people, as many as trust in him. So he endures all the demands of the law. He takes every drop of the cup that's got the name of his people upon it, so that they do not have to drink of that cup and they can go free. Paul, when you go to the last Romans, he's there standing on a pinnacle of history. And he is surveying all the broad sweeps of experience that comes. Shall principalities or powers or life or death? These are the great influences that are known to all man in every generation. And he puts down the gauntlet time after time after time, and he says, can any of these things separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus the Saviour? And the answer comes back equally consistently every time, no. There is nothing that can separate us. There's no defect, there's no hidden crack, there's no weakness in anything the Lord has done. He deals with all the sins of all of his people. And the more that we take that, the more the Christian takes that to him or herself. And the more we understand the application of that great message to our soul, then the deeper our peace will be. From time to time, yes, we know it. From time to time, sin will break into the Christian's life. And we have that temporary effect of losing that peace in our hearts. But we can regain it as we come and confess before the Lord, seeking his pardon and appreciating a greater depth and intensity of the work that he's done in the way in which he's pardoned and forgives the sins of his people. The angels had that very focus The angels brought that as the message, peace on earth. And how is that going to be achieved? Simply by the death of this child in the arms of Simeon. He saw it, and he appreciated it. The peace. What's one thing that we're going to be hearing now in these next few days when we come to New Year's time? The great longing that has to be, that's spoken of by all the great dignitaries of our land and of the world. Longing for peace to break out somewhere where there hasn't been peace before. It won't work. We need that peace with God. The peace that Simeon speaks of, the peace that Christ brought. And it's only as we have that peace, only then can we say that we're ready to go. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Jesus Christ came into this world, the only one with the purity to offer the sacrifice for sin. The only one who is able to deal with all of the variations, all the intensities, all of the habits that have been cultivated in a lifetime. So, so many different descriptions and details from so many of his people. But here we are given simple truth. We struggle sometimes to grasp hold of what God brings to our notice. We struggle sometimes to grasp the enormity of it freely given. David, when he was there before God, God told him that God was going to make a covenant with his house and with the family to come, and he was going to bring abundant blessings upon them. David was just simply lost for words, and he just sat down. Lord, are you thinking of my house? Why are you thinking of my house and my family and my generations to come like this? He was utterly lost for words, and sometimes we can be like that. We struggle to grasp hold of what God brings to our notice. We just can't make sense of it. What does it mean? How does it apply to me? That salvation that Simeon saw is the very salvation that we need for ourselves. The message of the gospel time after time. That is the one thing that we need, you and I, day after day. And this is, quite simply, the last experience that I want to draw attention to in this man's life. Yes, we've seen the priority. We've seen the prayer that he made, the providence, the promise, and all of these things. But the one thing is the priority. What is the one most important experience that this man had? What is the one important challenge that he leaves for us? That is in verse 30, our meditation this morning. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation. As we listen to what Simeon is saying, we see the change in the way that he lives. He's now ready to die. His life has changed in its dimensions, its color, its proportion. He's now ready to go. And what is it that's brought that change about? This very priority thing that he's speaking of here. I have seen the salvation of the Lord. He has seen Christ, and so he is ready to die. Yes, remember that man. John chapter 9, he was born blind and he was healed by the Lord, and there were so many disputing about how it came about and who did it and such like. And eventually the man was asked himself for his testimony. He says, well, I don't know. I just don't know. But I'll tell you one thing. I'll tell you this thing. Once I was blind, but now I can see. That's the one priority for that man in Luke and John chapter 9. That's the one priority for Simeon in Luke chapter 2. This is the one priority for even you and me and all others who hear this gospel this morning. The consequence of the Christmas message, the challenge that this man brings to us, have we had our eyes open and do we see him as he saw him? The spiritual, full spiritual significance of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. How many then understand, as Simeon did, why he came? How many can say it with the same commitment and enthusiasm as Simeon says it? How many can see the salvation that he accomplished? And how many can have that same spiritual interest in what Jesus Christ has done? This priority experience, we go back, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. What is the one thing that is given that same priority for us there? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. That's what he says and sets before us. That's the one thing we've got to take to challenge our lives out of all of the celebrations of this past weeks and days. Are we ready? Are we ready to die? I suppose that's a good test. A good test of the significance. A good test of the effect of the Christmas message upon us. Simple, personal, and devastating. Are we ready to die? What has been the effect of all that has happened over these past weeks and days? Have we had something of that experience, that transformation that Simeon had, that blind man had in John chapter 9? Have our eyes been opened? Have we been given understanding? Has light come upon our minds and a change come into our lives? Have we seen the beauty of the Lord's Christ? And have we seen something of the salvation which he came into the world to achieve and accomplish? And have we got an interest in that amazing spiritual work for ourselves? The simple effect of Christmas, I want to leave in these words from Simeon's life for ourselves, as a challenge to all of us. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Have we seen him in something of that beauty, that radiance, that glory? And are we attracted to put our trust and our faith in him? Let us pray. O Lord, our gracious God, once again thy word comes to us with all of the power and relevancy of heaven upon it. Thy word comes to us, Lord, with all of the application and breadth of eternity. Thy word shakes us and disturbs us to the very depth of our being. And we pray, Lord, that thy word might enter into us, our thinking and our living even this day, and remain with us in days to come. O Lord, our prayer is that thou wouldst deal with us in thy grace, that we might know that same experience for ourselves, that we might see things that we've never seen before, be interested in them and drawn to them, and that we might see Jesus Christ and something of his beauty for our souls now. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. We close by singing from Psalm 63. Psalm 63. In the beginning of that psalm, Lord, thee my God I'll early seek. My soul doth thirst for thee. My flesh longs in a dry parched land wherein no waters be. That I thy power may behold, and brightness of thy face, as I have seen thee heretofore within thy holy place. Since better is thy love than life, my lips thee praise shall give. I in thy name will lift my hands and bless thee while I live. Even as with marrow and with fat my soul shall fill thee. Then shall my mouth with joyful lips sing praises unto thee. Psalm 63, these four verses. Lord, thee my God, I'll early seek.
Lord, thee my God, I'll early seek.
And now may grace, mercy, and peace from God, Father, Son, and Holy